Good evening. Great to have you all here tonight. Last week, I think many of you were here last week, we talked about how God is with us wherever we go. A promise that God made to Jacob as part of the covenant that he made with his grandfather Abraham and with his father Isaac. But then God presented this promise of his presence to Jacob in a very personal way, so that Jacob would know the truth that God was with him personally and at all times watching over him wherever he would go and protecting him. Tonight we're going to continue to look further into the character of God and to see how God is a God of grace and restoration. Amen. I heard a testimony recently, and I hope I get this right because I was just remembering it by memory, so I hope he'll forgive me if I get some of the details off. But there was a man, he caused an accident to happen. And in this accident that was his fault, I guess there was maybe a fatality or some severe injuries. And he and his family were just torn apart by guilt and by shame, as you can imagine. It was just a horrible circumstance. And soon lawsuits followed. And he consequently lost his job and his six-figure salary. And he ended up basically losing everything. He plummeted into a deep depression, but his wife, she turned to prayer. With nowhere to look but up, the man turned to God, and he asked God to relieve this unrelenting burden of guilt and shame that he had on his shoulders, if you can only imagine. His testimony was that he had focused his life on the pursuit of money, and he had forgotten the call to ministry that God had placed on his life back in his college days. I guess he had poor leadership back then, and he kind of lost his way, and he just went the next easiest route, and he became very successful at what he was doing. And money just kind of became his focus. But when he finally hit bottom after this circumstance, he decided to turn to God for help, even though he didn't feel worthy. But God gave him this restorative grace, and he gave his presence to him that lifted this man away from that burden of shame. Just took that burden right off of him. And he took that debilitating guilt that he felt. God released him of that too. And God gave him a renewed purpose in his life, restoring his marriage and his family, and confirming and validating that call. It was on his life. And this man is now a pastor, a children's pastor. And that's his testimony. I think most all of us have had incidents in our lives that have caused us such deep emotional wounds that we've wondered if we will ever get over it. We have even maybe thought at times that not even God could fix this. The pain feels so fundamental, so permanent in our lives, that it affects even our outlook on our future. We don't see how we will be doing anything but just coping and surviving and maintaining for the rest of our lives. the pain will always be present with us, is what we feel, is what we believe. It may be consequences of our own sin or the consequences of someone else's sin against us that we've had to deal with on a daily basis, or maybe we have had experienced a sense of complete powerlessness due to circumstances beyond our control that have had such a binding hold that it's impossible to imagine how anything could ever get better. We end up believing that we will just have to live with the pain of our past. And many of us even feel that's what we deserve. And this is our cup to bear. And we let go of any hope of restoration. We let go of our call to ministry out of our shame. We maybe receive his forgiveness, maybe not. But we just hope somehow that God will still abide with us. And we believe in hope of things being back to the way that they were, are lost forever. Can anyone relate to that? But I can tell you all that that type of thinking is wrong. For those of us who are in Christ, that type of thinking is a false narrative. Fake news. God is in the ministry of grace and restoration. Amen? He can make all things new. Our passage tonight is from the book of Joel in the Old Testament. We find the prophet Joel making an impassioned plea to the people of Judah to turn back to God. He says, "Return to Yahweh your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love." He urges the people of Judah to return to Yahweh your God. And he uses the good character of God as an incentive for the people to draw them back to him. And he reasons, for he is gracious and compassionate. You guys know this. You've heard the stories passed down from your forefathers of how gracious and how compassionate Yahweh is. And he's slow to anger. Look how long you've been doing this stuff. And only now judgment is coming. You know that he is a God that is slow to anger. And he is abounding in love. We all know the stories of how much God loves us, how he has provided for us time and time again, how we have deserved judgment, but time and time again, he has relented and he has saved us. These three phrases are like a catchphrase or a motto in the Old Testament. They're like God's name tag. They are, in fact, God's self-description. Kind of like, you know, the self-description that Gabriel might have on a dating site. You know, single, goofy sense of humor, likes to take long walks on the beach. I don't know if you can hear that. But this is, we don't really want to know. But anyway, this is God's name tag. And it's repeated throughout the Old Testament. The first time we hear it is in Exodus 34:6. It is how God introduces himself when Moses asks to know his identity. God says, "The Lord, I'm the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." And I want you to remember that, because when you go down to the bottom of the mountain, you're going to need to remember how gracious and compassionate I am. This is who Yahweh is. This is the personal character of the amazing and the amazing grace and forgiveness to be understood every time his name is spoken. This model for God can be found at least 8 times in the Old Testament, and it defines that God is essentially the God of grace and compassion. So those people that you hear talk about the God of the Old Testament as being all fire and brimstone and being this angry God, they haven't looked at the facts. They don't understand. They need to recognize that this is God's true character. Now, Joel is speaking to the people of Judah who are in violation of their covenant relationship with God. This covenant, which is basically a binding legal agreement, which, if broken, has some very severe consequences written in the fine print. And the Hebrews in Joel's time have evidently broken the covenant in some way he doesn't specify, but God in his grace sends Joel to remind them of the terms of the agreement and to warn them of the judgment that is coming. They all knew it would be coming eventually. God is telling Joel to call the people to turn back to him. And Joel is warning them of the judgment that's about to come, but mainly he's reminding them of the gracious and good nature of God that they must appeal to in order to avoid the coming judgment. And he gives them further reason to turn back to God by offering them the hope of future restoration should they return to him. So he will restore their land if they return to him. And not only that, it's going to be even better than it was before they screwed up. So is that incentive to turn to God or not? How gracious and loving is that? Now this covenant, this Mosaic covenant, we today are no longer under that covenant. We're under the new covenant. Amen. Praise God. But this covenant that they were in, this Mosaic covenant that's laid out in Deuteronomy, this was for their protection. Because they were either under the Mosaic law, this law of God, or they were under the law of sin and death only. They were still under that law, but under this Mosaic law, they were protected because God gave them ways of keeping them safe and protecting them from death, which is the result of the sin. So do you understand why God had to have stipulations for them to stay in the safe zone? They couldn't do it. But we have a hard time too. God is a God of grace and restoration. God is essentially saying through Joel, I am calling my people to repentance. I will make a way for all to come to me. I'm not at odds with my people. My heart is for them, to bless them. I want to give them what they need to satisfy and sustain them. I am not an angry God without cause. I am angry with injustice because I am a just God and I cannot let it stand. Eventually, I will end all injustice, but for now, I will rain down blessings on my people to sustain them in their worship of me, but I need them to come back to me, to return to me with changed hearts so that I may bless them. God is a God of grace and restoration, even if we aren't asking for it, and even if we don't deserve it. Just the fact that God would send prophets to the people just shows his grace right there. He didn't have to send people to warn his people. He didn't have to send prophets. Guys, God's coming. Judgment's coming. Turn around. He didn't have to do that. He could have just, you know, But he loved them, and he wanted them to turn around and come back to him so that he could be in restored relationship with them. Because if you remember, we've talked about the whole purpose we were created, that God created us, was to have a relationship with us. So this is what God wanted, and they kept breaking that. Because Joel 2:13 is true, Yahweh does not totally destroy his people. Instead, he promises them a future where he will restore all they have lost and will bless them with all they need and more. But the message of Joel is also a prophetic message. It's a prophetic message of grace and restoration, not only for the people of that day, but also it's meant for a future generation. Joel also prophesies about a hope beyond the judgment for a glorious future restoration. He was prophesying about a new covenant when God promises to pour out his Spirit on all people so that they will know and experience the presence of God in a new way, and they will have knowledge of him in a new way. And this presence and knowledge of God will bring enabling power to the people of this new covenant. We are that people of that future prophecy, that time that Joel was prophesying about is here. We are the people of the future restoration. We can know God's grace and restoration today through the saving work of Christ on the cross and the presence and knowledge of the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen? God was then and still is today a God of grace and restoration. You may have times in your life when you take your focus off God and his plan for you. It may be because of willful sin, or maybe just a gradual loss of passion for the things of God. You know, distractions of life, maybe work or family or other things that get in the way of our relationship with him. They kind of distract us from pursuing God. Or maybe you've been a victim of the sins of others, or have had a great loss or emotional trauma that leads you to question everything you've ever believed and makes it difficult for you to trust even God. What is left are feelings of guilt, shame, anger, depression, resentment, bitterness, doubt, confusion, or disillusionment. These are all consequences of your circumstances. The answer is still, as in Joel's day, turn to the Lord. Amen. Return to the Lord your God. Why not? As we have learned tonight, he promises you he will welcome you with gracious and compassionate open arms. Unfailing love he has for us. He promises to restore you by his grace and rain on you the ever-abiding presence of his Spirit to encourage and uplift you and to build you up and strengthen and empower you and sustain you and to give you peace. Does anybody want that? We're no longer under the same covenant as the Hebrews were in Joel's day. Under the new covenant, we see that grace and restoration have found their ultimate expression in Jesus Christ. There is no sin or situation in our lives that God will not have grace to forgive and restore if we humbly turn to Him and receive His forgiveness and His grace. God promises grace and restoration, His healing manifested in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, removing all guilt and shame, lifting away that burden. Like that gentleman I talked about at the beginning. He wants to remove all our grief and our loss, our sadness, our sorrow. When we look at all His goodness, why would we hesitate to turn our hearts to Him? God is good. All the time. And He wants to restore our joy and to bring us back to a place of peace in His presence. No matter how bad things have been for us, what others have done to us, or what we've done, God is in the restoration business. And we can always count on Him to be gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and what? Abounding in love.